Hello and welcome to the FSG Podcast Series. FSG is the leading information services provider for emerging market executives. We partner with business leaders at more than 200 multinationals by providing them with research, analytical tools, and data that helps power their emerging markets business strategies. Today's conversation will be about FSG's outlook for Western Europe. My name is Pablo González, Senior Analyst for Brazil at Frontier Strategy Group. Joining me for today's conversation is Lauren Goodwin, Senior Analyst for Western Europe and author of the latest quarterly overview of the Western European market. As a reminder, this report and all of our content is available via the portal at portal.frontierstrategygroup.com. Hi, Lauren, welcome, and thank you for being here today.
Thanks, Pablo. It's great to be here.
FSG has been telling the Western European story in terms of the credit and sovereign debt crisis for a long time. FSG still sees low growth in Europe for 2014, so I assume that you think that the crisis is not improving at all.
That's right to a certain extent, Pablo. There are two main leading indicators that we monitor in order to determine whether things in the Eurozone will turn around. And like you said, that's in response to the credit and sovereign debt crisis that has been the case in Europe for a long time. The first of the indicators that we really pay attention to in Europe is bank lending. Increased bank lending would show that banks are healthy enough to make loans and companies are competent enough to invest for future growth, creating the jobs, by extension, that are necessary for recovery. Right now, that's not the case. Banks are actively closing revolving credit lines to strengthen their capital bases, and they'll continue to do so throughout the year as European bank stress tests are underway. And those won't end until October, and so we really see 2014 as being kind of a muddle through year on this front. In fact, lending to businesses as a result was down 3.9% through October of 2013, which is the fastest rate of decline in a decade, obviously, therefore, including the crisis. So that's not looking very good. The other indicator that we look at as a leading indicator for recovery is government spending. Now, that's not to make any policy prescriptions per se, but only to say that increased government spending would signal that governments are moving away from austerity policies to stimulate their economies into recovery. And because of the deficit caps and similar policies meant to stabilize budgets in the European Union, government spending is only meant to increase 0.3% across the entire European Union this upcoming year.
I see. I'm trying to put myself in our client's shoes and thinking about our ability to monitor those two indicators. And I have a couple of thoughts. First, banking lending is tracked on a monthly basis, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And second, Eurozone countries have a pretty transparent budget system and are fairly restrained by the European Union in terms of the budget deficit capacity.
Right. And if I sense where you're going, these indicators, although really mostly government spending, don't change drastically very frequently in Europe. And so when you're thinking about the business reality of FSG's clients, tracking the status of the Eurozone can require a little bit more nuance.
Exactly. So in that case, what else can our clients monitor to help gauge the process of business activity?
First of all, as we discussed just now, bank lending data is available on a monthly basis, and so it's a pretty quick-moving indicator that clients can track. However, in terms of more business-specific indicators, we also like to look at things like industrial production, inflation, employment, so a lot of the factors that you see being reported fairly consistently, as well as, of course, more qualitative factors like political sentiment that are, of course, important to the market. So thinking about those indicators that I just listed, business activity in the Eurozone hasn't returned to pre-crisis levels. In fact, we're looking at more of an 87% pre-crisis capacity right now and trending downward, especially since August of 2011. This kind of downward trend has been going on. In comparison, the U.S. is almost fully recovered with an October level of industrial production at 98% of its index. Similarly, inflation is a real pain point for Europe right now. Inflation is currently about 0.8% annually, which is much lower than the ECB's target rate of 2%. In business terms, low inflation, which is the result of weak business demand, combined with high employment and declining nominal wages, could cause our clients' consumers to put off purchases as they expect prices to continue to decline in the future. So as a result, retailers are forced to slash prices, which leads to declining profits, lower wages, and ultimately households struggling to meet their loan repayments. The problem is most acute, of course, in the peripheral countries. In fact, Greece is actually deflating right now, and prices in Spain are flat. And so that's where you'll see this being the biggest risk in the upcoming year. But even stronger countries like Germany are showing low inflation over time. So to compound that with unemployment being high, 12.2%, and growth really too low, even if the Eurozone does come out of recession this year, it's not going to make a big impact on that unemployment number.
The last thing you had mentioned was industry values.
That's right. And when I say industry values, I mean industry values very generally. We look at equity index values generally to get a sense of which industries might be returning to health, if any. In that realm, what we see right now is that healthcare and consumer staples valuations have outperformed compared to others, and they're back over their 2007 pre-crisis baseline. Consumer discretionary values have also breached their 2007 pre-crisis levels. And so to us, this foreshadows an unsustainable recovery in a way, because despite recent positive data, consumers in many countries are accumulating debt to fuel their spending on the basics. Typically, recoveries are indicated by improvement in the values of banking, materials, and industry, not just consumer goods on their own.
So your base case scenario for Europe this year is pretty negative.
In a way, we're certainly not calling for a massive downside change in the Eurozone. Then again, nobody saw Cyprus happening, for example, so we can't count it out. But what I'm saying is that headlines have been pretty optimistic lately, citing 1.4% European Union growth and a bit lower for the Eurozone. But for the past 4 years, forecasts have been overly optimistic every year, by a full percentage point or more 1 year out. And I hope that's not the case for 2014, but the fundamentals that we monitor haven't yet signaled that positive step forward.
It sounds as if our base case scenario for Europe is somewhat of a muddle-through reality. Europe is unlikely to implode, but economic growth fundamentals remain weak. So what types of things could disrupt this base case?
Sure, Pablo. And for our listeners that are interested in this particular question, I've actually put together a blog post on blog.frontierstrategygroup.com that walks through the major disruptors for Western Europe that are possible for this year.
Okay, great. Good timing. I'll have to check that out myself.
To answer your question, though, Pablo, the things that are that these more fundamental macroeconomic indicators don't necessarily encompass are, of course, the political and social factors that could disrupt our view this year. Some of the things that we've touched on briefly already, like the bank stress tests are coming up, that might cause for banks to deleverage further, which would mean tighter credit looking forward. We also, of course, talked about low inflation and the way that that could hit demand and wages. But some of the other things that we see that have a big potential for disruption, particularly in one of the main events that we're tracking this year, has to do with austerity fatigue. And this situation is really the encompassment of so many years of the economy really going poorly and consumers not having the type of income that they're used to and the ability to spend and maintain their typical way of life. And what we're seeing is that that's fueling extremism, both on the right and left, and even in economies that are doing comparatively better than some of the peripheral economies like Spain, for example. And so as you see, for example, the May 2014 European parliamentary elections coming up, you might see some of these far left and far right parties doing really well. And as a result, a lot of call it more center voters being really upset about the lack of representation that they feel in the European Parliament, which could really kickstart social unrest and could be a major disruptor for our clients this year. And of course, as a result of that, political turnover or just general unrest could increase bond yields in these countries, which would make their debt more expensive and put Europe back into crisis. And so these are some of the events that we're tracking that could disrupt the base case as we've discussed.
Thank you very much, Lauren. I'm afraid we're running low on time, but I'd like to direct our listeners to Lauren's blog post outlining these disruptors to the European status quo more fully. This has been a great conversation. Thank you for sharing your insights into the Eurozone economy, which will help our clients to direct their targets for global growth this year. As a further reminder, you can access all of our content, including the Western European Regional Overview for Q1 2014, at portal.frontierstrategygroup.com. This concludes our podcast. Until next time, we wish you great outperformance in your emerging markets portfolio.